Christ. Say that. And put my arms out, picture myself. Good morning. There's the Church of Christ. And, you know, I'm thankful to be a member of the church that our Lord died for and shed his blood and brought. So I'm very thankful for that. And I'm thankful once again for being in the presence of those of like precious faith and to have this opportunity to stand before you once again and to be able to proclaim God's word.
Amen.
So we're going to keep on standing up for Jesus. That's a wonderful, encouraging song to help continue to prepare us for the battle of standing up for our Lord Jesus Christ. You know that the world can be very discouraging sometimes and say to attack our faith, but we want to continue to trust in the Lord. We want to be strong in the power of his might, continue to stand up for Jesus. All right. So this morning's lesson is about stewardship. All right, this morning's lesson is about stewardship. Right? And the title of the lesson is A Good Steward of God. A Good Steward of God. And the point here of the lesson is for us to understand what a steward is of God. All right, have that understanding from God's word. And to be able to examine our lives, all right, to make sure that we are in the faith, to make sure that we are in line with God says. So that is for me to think about my life when I'm hearing God's word and to be able to say, am I lining up with what God says? If I am, great. That's what God wants. That's what every lesson is about. It's about us examining our lives to make sure we are standing right with God. We always want to be in right standing with God. All right, so this is what this is about. Making sure we look at our lives, examine our lives, hearing the word of God, and when we hear God's word, make the changes why God gives us the time to do so. So if we're doing the things that God has asked us to do, continue to do it and aim to be better at it. If we're not, God is giving us grace. He's giving us this time here to be able to say, hey, I'm not doing what God has said. I need to make that adjustment in my life. That may take prayer. It may be prayer of the brothers and sisters. It may take studying God's word, all these things, encouragement from one another to be able to do those things. But it has to start with you wanting to do, to have a desire to make that change there in your life so that we can be pleasing to God. So that's what we want to do as we study God's word here and learn about stewardship here and how to be a good steward of God. So first of all, I'm going to give you a definition of the word steward in the Bible here. Taken from the Bible, basically, here. So this is the definition of the word steward. A steward is a manager of a man's house. That's what the word steward is. Basically, biblically, is where you find that definition. He is a manager of a man's house. All right. He is a servant who is entrusted to oversee the daily affairs of a man's household. That's your definition there of steward, all right? The ideal of a steward is one who manages or is entrusted with another's possession or property, all right? He is one that is manages or entrusted with another person's possessions or property. So that's the ideal behind the steward. Things that I have to be trustworthy with those things, and that's what we'll see here in Scripture. So a steward, we see here in the King James Version. I'm going to switch up on different versions to pull out what I need to pull out to show you this morning. But steward in the Bible is found 13 times if you have the King James Version. All right, the first time you find the word steward is found in Genesis chapter 15. Let us take a look there. Genesis chapter 15. We're in Genesis chapter 15, and we're looking here in verses 2 and 3. Genesis chapter 15, verses 2 and 3. If we're there, it reads, "And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." So we have Abraham here, or Abram at this time, and he is having a conversation with God. All right, and he's saying to God here, he says, what will you give me seeing I go childless? So we know that God has given Abraham great promises here, blessings here, and one of them is as a child to be able to come so he can have great descendants. All right, so he's saying to God here, Abraham is, what are you going to give me, Lord? Well, what was it going to matter? Because I don't have a child to pass this on to. He's saying the steward of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. He's saying when I die, he's going to be the one that inherits everything that I have. So all the blessings that you have promised unto me, Lord, what good is it if I don't have someone as a child to pass these things on to a seed? And especially speaking here of Isaac as the seed or the son of promise. So this is what Abraham is speaking to the Lord about. But what I want us to zero on here is here in verse number 2, as he says, and the steward of my house, or depending on what your translation, it might say servant or manager. And he says, and the steward of my house is Eleazar. So it's showing us the definition here in Scripture. He is the steward over Abraham's house here. He would handle all of his daily needs here, from his servants to etc. All right, so let's continue on looking at verses here dealing with the definition. Let's go to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis, the 24th chapter. Genesis, the 24th chapter. And we're looking here, verses 1 and 2. Genesis chapter 24, verses 1 and verse number 2. And it reads, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. So we have Abraham here. He is old. He's well stricken in age. He's close to the point of death here. And he's talking here, here to his servant here. And it tells us also that the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all things, is the point here. This servant here is could be possibly still the same steward here as Eleazar. It's maybe still Eleazar here, but the point I want you to zone in here is his eldest servant of his house. And the point is that he ruled over all things in his house. He ruled over everything in his house. This is his steward. This is his manager. This is his servant. And he's ruling over everything in his house. And if you continue to read, it shows you the extent of even what he's ruling over, because Abraham is about to die soon. And he wants his son, Isaac, to have a wife. And he's seen here his eldest servant. That's what he wants him to do. He wants us to put a hand under his thigh and promise him that he's going to go out and find him this wife for his son. So it just shows us the extent of stewardship here, even to the point of finding a wife for his son. Let's continue on with the thought here. Genesis chapter 39. Genesis 39. And we will read here, Genesis chapter 39. We just start here, verse 2. Genesis chapter 39. Verse number 2, it reads, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hands. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had put into his hands. And it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Jacob's sake. And the blessings of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hands, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. So we know the story about Joseph, all right? So Joseph had been sold in slavery by the Ishmaelites, from his brothers to the Ishmaelites, and now the Ishmaelites have sold Joseph unto the Egyptian here of Potiphar. So now he's in Potiphar's house here, And Potiphar has made him steward in his house. All right, he made him steward over all that he had. Let me bring out verse number 4. He says, and Joseph found grace in his eyes, and he served him and made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hands. So Joseph here is in Potiphar's house, and he has put him steward over everything in his house. All right, and everything Joseph touched, it was a blessing. God was with Joseph, and everything in this Egyptian's house, Potiphar's house, it was a blessing. Everything went real smooth because God was with Joseph, and everything Joseph touched was good. All right. So the point here is that Joseph is overseer over the Potiphar's house, and that's everything in the house. It gets to the point there, even in verse number 6, it says, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hands, and he knew not aught he had saved the bread which he did eat. So Potiphar didn't have to worry about nothing. We're talking about the king here of Egypt, and now Joseph's over all of that. And Potiphar doesn't have to worry about anything. It says the only thing he had to worry about is what he was going to decide to eat. That's the only thing I got to worry about. Wouldn't that be good? I had to be a steward. I ain't got to worry about nothing. I think I eat some steak today and some potatoes. That's all I got to worry about. Everything else, my steward got it covered. That's a wonderful thing to have a steward like that. So just the point once again, steward. All right, he's a man that's managing over another man's household. All of his affairs, he is one who has been entrusted with the property of another. All right, it even goes on to show that Joseph even has a steward of his own there. So we know even from the very beginning, God placed man in the garden and made him a steward. All right, God created the garden. He took man, Adam, put him in that garden, and he told him to dress it and to keep it. So God made Adam from the very beginning a steward. He had to take care of that garden, to till that garden, to take care of it, do what all it would need to be done in that garden there to be pleasing to God. So we see that from the very beginning. And most of the time when we think about stewardship, what comes to mind? You're thinking about money. All right. Most of the time, you think about stewardship. If you do think about stewardship, thinking about managing money, but it goes farther than that. It's money, but it's also our time. All right. We got to be good stewards of our time that God has given us on this earth. We have to be good stewards of the talents and the abilities that God has given unto us. Everything that God has given unto us, all the resources that God has blessed us with, we have to be good stewards of that if we're going to be pleasing unto God. So we're talking about stewardship. It is broad. It covers everything that God has given unto us and put unto our hands. From our money, our time, all right, that's very important, and our abilities, etc. All right, that's all what God has given to us. And this is one of the first things that we need to know in order to be good stewards. Let us turn to Psalms chapter 24. Psalms chapter 24. The 24th chapter, and verse number 1, Psalms chapter 24 and verse 1, the Bible reads, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So we see here God says the earth is the Lord's, or David does, he says the earth is the Lord's, all right, and everything that dwells in it. So it's saying everything and everyone belongs to God. And everything we have and even ourselves belong to God. As the scripture lets us know, you're not your own. You were brought with a price. That is the blood of Jesus. You only belong to ourselves. We belong to Christ. So everything that we have, it belongs to God. Who we are, we belong to God. Isn't that great? God owns everything. Why is that the case? That everything and everyone belongs to God because he is the creator. He created everything. He created us, and we belong to God. And now when we think about our money, our times, our talents, and we have the right mindset and the right attitude that this is not mine, it belongs to God, it gives a whole new perspective on our lives. All right? This is mine. This is mine. This belongs to the Lord. And if something belongs to the Lord or to someone else, how are you supposed to treat that? You're supposed to take care of that. I take a young man, I pick him up, and I take him to worship on Sundays. All right, he's a young man. He He doesn't have his mother in the picture with him. It's just his father. So I tell him, don't worry about it. I treat him just like he's my own son. So when I got somebody else's son in my care, I'm going to treat him like my own son. But to a degree, I got to treat him even better than I would my own son because it's somebody else's property. All right? So if I loan you my car, all right, you're supposed to take care of my car. All right? I loan Dean my car. He borrows my car, goes to work, comes back. Ain't no gas in the car. It was a full tank, Brother Dean, when I gave it to you. There was no gas in the car. There's a scratch on the side of the car. Brother Dean, like, I don't know how it got there. Brother Dean has not been a good steward of my car. I'm going to think twice before I let Brother Dean have my car. And me and Brother Dean will have a real good conversation. I love you, Brother Dean. I loan you my car, but you make sure you take care of it, brother. All right? So if somebody loan me my car, I take care of it. And make sure the gas is in there. Might even wash it, whatever the case might be. Because I'm thankful that they allowed me to be able to use their property. So that's the idea there about being a good steward. And the first thing we need to know is all that we have is not ours. It belongs to the Lord. Second thing we need to know as being good stewards is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let us turn there. First Corinthians chapter 4, we're looking there at verse number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2. And it reads, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be faithful. Second thing we need to know as being stewards is that we need to be faithful, all right, of all of what God has entrusted in to us. It's more, it is required, all right, by God that we as the stewards, we are to be faithful of what God has given unto us. We must be found that way. And that is that we have to be reliable. All right? We have to be dependable. We have to be trustworthy of all of the blessings that God has given to us. All right? So that's what we need to know as being those of good stewards of God. All right? Let us also look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 10. 1 Peter chapter 4 4 and verse 10 is where we're going there. And it reads, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Christ Jesus, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So as every man hath received a gift, we all are stewards. We all have a gift or gifts from God that we are to use. All right? And he says, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we all have a gift or gifts to be able to minister, that is to serve one to another. So what God has blessed me with, I should use that to be able to be a blessing to other people. Mm-hmm. And in context, he's talking about those that speak well, or you speak as the oracles of God. If I have ability to be able to speak, I should be able to use that talent to help God's people. We are ministering, serving one another with that gift that God has given us. If God has given Brother Kevin the gift of comforting people, he should use that gift. He recognizes that God has blessed me with this, and I should use that gift. Brother Kevin goes to the hospital, somebody's sick in bed, he has the words to tell him. He knows how to comfort somebody. I go in there and I tell him the wrong thing. Brother, you look real bad today, brother. I wanted to get out of Bible class, brother. You should have just told us. You know, but Brother Kevin comes in, he has the right comforting words. He lets him know everything's going to be okay. You're in the hands of God. So some of us have different gifts that others don't, but whatever it is, use that. Use that to be a blessing to somebody else. Minister one to another. That's what we do with the gifts that God has given us, and this is how we are to be good stewards of what God has given us. And it tells us here, let him do it with the ability which God giveth, and that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's the point. Whatever we got that God has given unto us, it is that we might glorify God. Glorify God. That's what he wants, for us to glorify God. Let your light so shine before men, all right? Doing the good works that you do, that they might glorify your Father in heaven. This is the point, to glorify God on what he has given unto us, all right? Let us go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And looking here at verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 4 and 1. It says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. So Paul and Apollos said, let men look at us as just the servants of Christ. We're just servants of Christ. And he tells us here, and stewards of the mysteries of God. They had been entrusted with the mysteries of God. That which in time past was not known, but now has been made known. That is, the message of God has now been revealed unto them, and they were to be good stewards. They were not to change it. Keep the word of God as it is. Be good stewards of what God has given unto them. And this is what they were to tell men here at Corinth. This is how you look at me, as a steward of God, our servant of Christ, and I'm to handle God's mystery, his message here, and to do so in the way that is pleasing unto God. Let us look at a parable example here before time gets away from us. Let us look at Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 here. Luke chapter 16 to give us an example here. Luke chapter 16, we're looking at verses 1 here, starting off here. Luke chapter 16, and we actually start in verse 1 through 4. I'll start off by reading here. This is the parable here of the dishonest steward, all right, or the parable here of the unjust here, steward or servant here, or shrewd manager here. All right, so Jesus here speaking here to his disciples, knowing in the background we have the Pharisees who loved money. So Jesus is telling this parable here. And he says here in verse 1 through 4, Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer. The manager said to himself, what shall I do? My master is taking away my job. I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their home. So we have here a rich man who has hired himself a manager or a steward to be over his goods. And now the rich man comes to realize that his manager or steward is mishandling his business, his goods, his products, whatever he has, he's mishandling that. And now he's been called into account. He calls in this manager, the steward, and he says, give an account for yourself. Get your books in order. I want you to get your books in order, your report in order, because you can no longer be steward. Basically, what he's telling them, you're about to be fired. You have been mistreating, you've been swindling money, whatever you've been doing, and you're about to be fired here. And now we see the manager here in verse 3, the manager says to himself, what shall I do? He knows he's about to be fired. He says, what shall I do? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig. So whatever it is, his physical work, he says he can't do. He's not strong enough. And he says, I am too proud to beg. I'm ashamed to beg. And then he says here, he starts to think to himself, I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job, people will welcome me into their houses. So he knows he's about to lose his job, so his wheels get to spinning. What am I going to do when I lose my job? And he comes up with some plan. He devises a plan. When I lose my job, I know what I'll do so that people will welcome me into their house. So he starts to devise his plan. And his plan here is found in verses 5 through 7. Let's read there. So, verse 5, so he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, how much do you owe my master? 900 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 450. Then he asked the second, "How much do you owe?" "A 1,000 bushels of wheat," he replied. He told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. So we have the steward here, or here, the manager here. He's calling in his master's debtors. All right, he asked him, "How much do you owe?" All right, "Sit down here and make cut your bill down," basically in half, he tells the first one. First one there in verse 6, he says, 900 gallons of olive oil," he replied. The manager told him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, make it 450. So it basically cut that in half. And I'm pretty sure 900 gallons of olive oil, that's a pretty large sum of olive oil back in those days and times, which probably costed a whole lot of money. But he tells him, "You make that 4.5, cut it in half there." So we see here of his actions that he's taken here. And he tells him, "Sit down quickly." He tell you, anybody tell you to do something quickly and you handling business, you better be on guard. Be on guard. Telling you quickly, this is the deal of a lifetime. You got to do it now. Take advantage. Don't tell nobody about this great deal. You better be on guard. You put your brakes on. Say, wait a minute. Anytime people start dealing with you the way that God wouldn't deal with you in business, honesty up front, take your time, think about it, go home, pray about it, come back. This deal is waiting here for you. It's not going nowhere. Somebody trying to rush you into something, you're talking about business, your antenna should go up. You should really think about that and pray about it should you make that decision there. All right. So this is what this dishonest steward was doing. He was calling in his master's debtors and had them start to cut that bill down in half. And the second one, he told him, "How much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat. He told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. All right. So those are his plans. This is what he's doing here. He's cutting his debtors' bills in half. So let's go to verse 8. The master commended the dishonest manager because he acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than the people of the light. So the master, he commanded the dishonest manager because he acted shrewdly. The master did not commend him for his dishonesty, all right, for him being dishonest, but he commended him because he acted shrewdly. He was very sharp about what he did. He was clever about what he did because he's planning for the future. All right, the manager, the steward, he's making plans for his future. And the master said, "Hey, I'm a businessman. I understand how you did the business, the plan for your future." And that's what he was commending him on, not him being dishonest, but the way that he acted, knowing that he was about to lose his job. And he's talking about people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than people of the light. People today will do all kinds of things to take advantage of you. They're very skilled in it. They're very sharp and wit in it, and to take advantage of you and your money. They're skilled. They go to classes to learn how to do this stuff. They talk about it, and they're very skilled in taking advantage of people. All right, but the children of light, they're not like that. We talk about honesty in Bible class. This is honesty. We don't deal that way. We're not dishonest. We deal in the honest way that the Lord wants us to. Verse number 9 here is the key to me as the parable. This is the main point of the parable here in verse number 9. And he says, "I tell you," as Jesus says, "I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into an eternal dwelling." Depending on what translation you have, it maybe gets confusing, but I like the NIV. I think it really captures the point here. So once again, Jesus says, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it's gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwelling. So it's the comparison of what this dishonest steward did. He knew he was about to lose his job. He used worldly wealth to gain friends for himself. So hopefully, when he loses the job, he can go back to their house and say, "Remember that favor I did for you? Okay, I need a place to stay now I lost my job. Welcome me into your home." So this is in comparison to us as Christians. The difference between what this dishonest steward did and us as Christians is our motives should be right. He had the wrong motives. His motives was for selfish gain, for his future plans or having a place to stay. We, as the children of God, our motives should be pure. We use worldly wealth, all that God has blessed us and trusted us with, but we can gain friends. All right, we go out. Somebody has a need, I mean a need, not just a want, but you're destined to, you really have a need. I should help that person. God wants us to be generous, willing to give, help that person, depending on the situation, being wise stewards. to help that person in their time of need, all right, so that I might be able to gain them as a friend, all right? That's my point, is to gain them as a friend so that I can be one that says, hey, I can now explain to you why I was so generous. I can explain to you why I have to give. So the whole point is that I can gain friends by the worldly wealth that I have to point them to Jesus. That's the point, to point them to Jesus. So you think if somebody's in a need, a desperate need, and I come along and I help them, that's the perfect time to tell them about God. That's the perfect time to sit down and have a Bible study with them. That's the perfect time to say, hey, I have to give because of the God I serve. All right? I'm willing to give because of the God I serve. He teaches me in His Word about how to be a good steward, and hope that that person will become a Christian also and turn around and do the same thing. So now I gain friends by the wealth that God has given me so that I can win them to Christ. All right? Yeah. And then he tells us, so that's the main point there of the parable there. And then he tells us also in verse 9, he says, so that when it is gone, you will be welcome into eternal dwelling. He says, so that when it's gone, all that we have, as well, it's going to be one day, it's going to be gone. Either it's going to be gone or we're going to be gone. All right, you know what's going to matter? When it's gone and we got to stand before God, what did you do with what God entrusted you with? It wasn't yours, it was God's. What did you do with it? You're just a good steward. Somebody else will come behind you and they'll have it, whatever it is. So what did you do with what God blessed you with on this side of life? Did you use it for yourself or did you use it for God's glory? That's what it's going to come down to. Wealth is going to fail you. It's going to go. It comes and goes. But when it's gone, you may have a home in heaven. You may be welcome into eternal dwelling. God will welcome you, and you were a wise and faithful steward. You were a wise and faithful servant of what I entrusted you with. Come on in to my home. Come on into the house of God. This is the comparison between what the unjust did. He was looking for himself and trying to get him a home when his money, his job ran out. So we prepare ourselves for our future by using what God has blessed us with, gaining friends, knowing that this wealth is going to come to an end, this life is going to come to an end, that we might have eternal dwellings with God. That's your point there of the parable there. Then verses 10 through 12. Whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? So we understand that. All right? You have work and you're not doing what you're supposed to do at work. Nobody about to come and promote you unless they just got something going on with you. But besides that, they're not about to promote you. You're not handling the job that you're supposed to handle. So why would I promote you to something else? If I give you $10 and tell you to bring me back $5 and you come with some excuse and got $2, I'm not going to give you no $100. So if you're not faithful with the little, you're not going to be trusted with much more. And that's God there. God's word just makes sense to me over and over and over again. So it just lets us know, if you're not honest with a little, you're not going to be honest with much. Then he tells us in verse 11, so if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? You see the comparison there? Talking about worldly wealth. All right, the worldly wealth. And the other comparison is true riches. Talking about heavenly riches. True riches. We don't have the true riches here. God is telling us there's something greater. There's true riches that we can have. But we got to be faithful with what God has trusted us with here. We have to be good stewards of the worldly wealth. And God will trust us with the true wealth that is to come there. All right? So that is the point there of that parable there, being good stewards of God. And I'm going to add to that so you can even see that even further in Scripture. We out of time. I thought we had some more time. So we're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and then I'm going to conclude. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 through 19. 17 through 19. So we know this is Apostle Paul here giving the charge unto Timothy here, and he's giving instructions for those who are rich. And we know now as us, we may not all be rich, but we're talking about rich with the blessings of God. This is my point here of the lesson here, or this passage here. It says here in verse 17, 1 Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor put their hope in wealth, which is uncertain, but to put their hope in God, which richly provides for us everything for us to enjoy. So here's a command to those who are rich, how to use their wealth, not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth. Remember, you talking about the wealth is going to fail you, all right? It's going to fail you. Don't put your hope in wealth. It is uncertain, he says here. But put your hope in God. God is certain, all right? We can trust God. He's certain. We have a blessed assurance in Christ Jesus. We can put all our hope in Christ Jesus, all right? But in this worldly wealth and chasing the things after this wealth and trying to live it up here on this side of life and using the worldly wealth for those reasons there, not saying you can't go out and have a good time, etc., but using your worldly wealth for those things and not being considerate of others and using it for God's blessing. Because that's what he tells us here as we continue on, who richly provides for us everything for our enjoyment. God gives us everything for our enjoyment if we only obey God. All right, then he tells us, verse 18, command those to do what? To do good. All right, to do good. And be rich in what? Good deeds. And to be generous and willing to share. All right. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. See, we have true life coming before us. All right. True life that is coming after this life. But we have to be good stewards of God. We have to be those who are good in good deeds, generous, willing to share, laying up treasures, having a good foundation for the age to come, that we might take hold of the true life that is to come. All right, that's what we find here in Scripture here, which goes right along with the parable we just looked at. All right, had other scriptures on here about the man with the many barns. He had so many crops, he didn't know what to do. He had to tear down his old barns, build bigger barns. Jesus was given a parable about being greedy. All right, he wasn't sharing with others. And at the end of the parable, he was told that you fool. Jesus let him know, you fool. Your life is required of you. I didn't call him a fool. Jesus said that. I said, your life is required of you this night here. So he wasn't generous to others. And we see that over and over in the scriptures. We see that in Luke chapter 12 there also about another parable. There, Matthew chapter 25, we see that there with the parable of the talent and the one man. With the one talent, and he did not use what was given unto him, the one talent, for his master's glory. He used it, actually buried it under the ground. And we see it over and over in the scriptures about being good stewards of God. So the question is, now that you learned about stewardship, are you a good steward? Are you a good steward? Have you been doing the things that God has showed us here in his word about being a good steward? Is your attitude or mindset, is that all that you have belongs to God, all right? Are you wise and a faithful servant with what God has entrusted unto you? And do you use what God has blessed you with for his glory? That is helping those who are in need, being generous, willing to give, doing good deeds there, all right? So this is your lesson. Are you a good steward of God, all right? We apply those things in our lives, we will be a good steward of God. We will have a heavenly home that we'll be welcomed into by being the good stewards of God. You're here, you're not a Christian, you become one by hearing the word of God. Believe in what you've heard of the word of God, repenting of your sins, having a change of mind that results of a change of your action. Confess the sweetest name that ever has been confessed on earth, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You are to be baptized, and that is for the forgiveness of your sins. And then you rise and walk up. Rise from the waters, and you begin to live a faithful life to God. That's what God wants for us to do. As Christians, those of us that are Christians, what we need to do is basically the same thing. We hear the word of God, all right? We believe the word of God, all right? We already can repent, meaning when we hear the word of God and we know we need to make a change in our lives, that's what we do. And then we continue to confess Jesus Christ, not just coming before us as others and saying we believe with Jesus Christ as the Son of God with all our hearts, but we confess that by the way that we live. We live faithful lives to God. All right? So be good stewards of God. All right? That's the lesson there. Anybody has anything that they want to bring forth into the congregation, anyone who wants to put Christ on as baptism, all right, you can do so. And if anybody has any requests that they might need, you can also bring it after we sing the invitation song. Now, at this time, let us please stand and be led in our invitation.